Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's
Women
right. Show.
Jay Dill and Dr. Lamar.
Let's go.
Yeah. Hey, 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 hey.
Two wise women. Jay Dill.
Yeah.
Two wise women.
You know
Dr. Lamar. Two wise women. You better pay attention.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We are the Two Wise Women. I am Dr. Lamar with The Wise Inc.
And I am Jay Dia with You Are Worthy.
We are so excited about this show this morning, and we want to welcome you all to the show. We are here to educate, illuminate the topics that has to do with relationships, sex, money, and love. And we are committed to your knowing and growing. Now, last week, we had a conversation about a husband losing his job or being resigned or resigning from his job or being fired or laid off, whichever one you want to pick. And we asked wives, what were their thoughts? What did they think about how they would support them? And just to let you all know, this morning, we have a panel of wives on the show this morning, so they will be tuning in and chiming in on their thoughts on various things. I sent the question out on Facebook for wives and or husbands to be able to, you know, inbox me questions of burning questions that they wanted to know. And so we're definitely going to get those questions answered today. But I want to go ahead and jump into this question that we had from last week that we got a lot of responses from our listeners. So the question was, what do you do if your husband is fired from his job? Do you speak life into him? Let him know that you're going to support him. Let him know that you love him, that everything is okay. Or do you talk to him about what he could have done differently or what he should have done in order to maintain his job? So what are some of the things that, you know, you all think you would do if your husband lost his job? And, J.D., I want to hear from you, and I know you're not married. But I want to hear what are some things that you think that you would do, you know, if you were married or even if you was in a committed relationship. What would you do if your boyfriend came home and said, babe, I done lost my job. What we going to do?
I want to make sure we ain't going to kill ourselves. That was a joke. So there are really three possible responses here. And the thing that I would look at is who is this man that I'm with? And my first response is, I want to know what happened. However, at that point, he's probably not going to want to go into a whole lot of details about what happened. So the thing that I would do is remind him of who he is, that I support him, that I know he knows how to. This is just a problem. And men are problem solvers. And so just let him know that this is a problem, that I know that I don't know how he's going to fix this problem, but I do know that it is fixable, that I believe in him, that I've seen him solve other difficult problems, and that I know who he is, and leave it at that. Like, just let him know that I believe in him, and I'm not going to pass blame or, you know, even get upset with the company that let him go. I'm going to actually speak more to who he is.
Okay, well, cool. Good deal. So for
at least I would like to think I would be like that. You never know in the situation. My fear
hilarious.
May come up. My survival, like, I'm going to die. I'm going to eat. There goes
you're
out
hilarious.
Vacation.
So I would like to hear, and first I would like to introduce our panel. We have two wives on the phone. Our first wife's name is Jay-Z, and the second wife's name is Bree. And I would like to know, what do you ladies think about the question that I just posed? If your husband came home and he lost his job, I don't know if he was fired, if he resigned, if he quit, if they quit him, what would your response be? Do you all have anything you would like to say about that?
Good morning, ladies. Thank you for having me on. This is Bree. Just listening to Miss JD of course, encouragement and support, but I think communication, allowing him to just communicate what has happened, what has he had to deal with, the process, allowing him that opportunity to just share that information with me, encouraging him, being prayerful with him, motivating him, and just seeking him for what's the plan, what's the direction, you know, what is the plan for this family that you have at this point? How can I assist to make you equipped, to prepare you to move in that direction? You know, that's the advice that I would have.
Okay.
Good morning, Kay.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Jay-Z, and I think for me, it would probably be business as usual. I would come home and I would carry on the same way I normally would because of the uproar that I know that he would have internally. And so I would want to make his environment as normal and as structured as I could. And when he's ready to communicate that with me, we'll communicate about it and move on from there. It would just be a support system that he's going to know that I'm there to support in whatever way I can, but it will probably be just business as usual for in my house.
Okay, well, good. So what it sounds like is from JD, Jay-Z, oh, that kind of rhymes, and Miss Bruce, oh, they all rhyme. It sounds like that you all will all be supportive and just kind of be encouraging. And that's kind of good because I think that's what they need, especially if the termination had nothing to do with anything that they did, if it was just them being laid off because of a shortage of work or if it had anything to do with just like a downsizing. And so I think that's good being supportive. Well, let me let everybody know.
Well, let me interject something because – you okay. Interjected something new, which was he quit, because that's different. Like we usually think about, well, you being fired, that's out of your control, but you're quitting. Wow. So would it still be the same thing? Because I know I think, and of course until I'm in that situation, but I think my response in my mind, I don't know what will pop out of my mouth, would be, how did you quit? But then, of course, I would have to think that there was a really good reason for him quitting.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's a very good point, too, because I think as you were speaking, I don't know that I would still question if my husband came home and he said, baby, I quit. And I would think in my head, no, what done happened? But I would have to trust his authority because I know that he wouldn't do anything to compromise the family. Now, this is me speaking for my relationship. I know that my husband wouldn't do anything to compromise the family. So if he quit, something really, really, really bad happened. And I would kind of just wait. Now, I would be bubbling, and he'd know that I would bubble. And I would hope that he would call me before, but if he couldn't, if the moment didn't present itself, then I'll still kind of back off and kind of wait for him to kind of tell me. But I would still be supportive. I would still be kind of patient, and for people that know me, I like to talk. I would kind of go within myself and not say anything and just kind of wait for him to, you know, tell me what's going on. But I would still kind of support and just trust that he quit for a good reason and somebody had really did something really bad to him. So those are just my thoughts about that. So I tell you what, guys, last week and the week before, I put this out on Facebook, and I asked for a lot of ladies and men to send in some good questions that they wanted answered from this panel of women, and also from the two wise women. And so I'm going to go ahead and kick off and get into the show and ask some of these questions. And ladies, just give us your honest feedback, what your thoughts are, how you feel. You can provide examples. And for our callers, we have a full house this morning. So if I ask a question and we're giving a response, if you have a question, please feel free to press 1, and I'll cue you in, and we'll get your question and or your comment. But we're going to go ahead and start off with the first question. And Ms. Jay-Z or Bree, you all can answer, you know, in if there's no order, whatever question you feel most comfortable answering, just go ahead and ask that and answer that question. So the first question that I'm going to start off with is, how do you or can you recover
from an affair or several affairs? So that's like a 3 or 4-fold question. But the bottom line is, can you or how can you recover from an affair or affairs?
I'll start off. This is Jay-Z. I do believe that you can recover from an affair, but I believe that both parties have to be willing to do the work. It's not going to be an easy process. It's not going to be an easy journey. And just like any journey, you're going to have hills and valleys, and you're going to have to climb them to get to the top, and then you'll find yourself in very low lows. And I think that you can recover. You just will have to do the work to recover. Now, when it comes to, like, multiple affairs, I think that you can recover from that also, because I believe that if you give your relationship to God, and this is my personal belief, that he can heal and do all things with it. And so I'm not saying that I believe with that you can recover from multiple affairs, but that's going to be something you can't do on your own. That's something you will have to do through faith and through belief, and probably through lots and lots of dollars spent in counseling a lot of intervention. But I still believe that you can.
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Bree. I piggyback off what Ms. Jay-Z says. There has to be a willingness from both sides and a commitment to do the work. And I think you have to look at the big picture, the work. That's just like your vows. You know, we have to look. It's such a small word, but such a powerful word. And you have to look at the fact that what you're getting into, and I think it's important to set a goal, to already have the end in mind, what you see that marriage becoming at the end of returning to. Go ahead and set that picture and prepare for those hills and those valleys. And like she said, the counseling, the prayer, the support, connecting yourself with all those things to keep you grounded, to keep you focused, to keep you in your right mind because it's going to get hard because of the work. And that's the part I want everybody to hear, the work. You don't know what the work is. We can kind of guess, visualize, hear from other people, but you won't know what the work is until you get it. But if you go into it committed, it makes the journey just a little bit easier. It's my response.
Okay. And Ms. Jadia, do you have any comments or any feedback that you would like to share?
So, I haven't been married, so I don't, and I do know that marriage is a different commitment. And so I think my response is going to be idealistic, but I'm going to give you my response. So my response is infidelity would be a deal breaker for me. However, I would set that up in the beginning, like, infidelity is a deal breaker. Now, of course, when it shows up, I don't know what I'm going to do. But the question is can a relationship, can a marriage or a relationship get beyond infidelity? And I agree with the two wives. Yes, it can. And you're right. There has to be openness. There has to be a reaffirmation of the commitment, what's really going on. But for me, I'm giving you everything that I have, and there's a trust has been violated. And I don't think I would be willing to be big enough to go to counseling about it. It's like at some point, and I'm much older, so at this point, we are coming together in this agreement, and I'm making sure that your needs are met. At least that's my intent, that's the goal. Now, as I say, I haven't been married, so I don't know what it would be like if it pops up. But just in dating, like when infidelity has shown up, I wasn't interested in being big enough about it, because I give too much. I give everything I got, So, that's my answer, Dr. Lamar. What about you?
Well, I'm just sitting over here, like, pondering, like, oh, my God, I cannot wait till I talk. You just made some really good points. And I want to talk about something that you just said that I think is very vital, and I think that that's one of the things that compromises relationship. You said you're giving all that you can give and you're meeting needs, but the thing is sometimes as wives or husbands, because an affair can go, it can go either way. Sometimes you can give all that you think you're giving, but you're not meeting his needs. And so I think it's so important to make sure that you're communicating to him. Like, you may be doing all the things that you think you should do, or that your mama told you to do, or that your grandmama told you to do, or that your girlfriend said do. Like, they may have said, you know, keep the house clean, have plenty of sex, keep yourself looking good. But he may not be interested in all that. He may be interested in you giving him a massage, or you working, or you taking care of the family. So it's so important to make sure that you're meeting needs. And one of the significant things, and for anybody that knows me, this is like my area of expertise. I absolutely love it. And for people that know me, I am a foodie. I love to eat. So losing weight is a sacrifice for me. It's really, really hard. And that's how I look at this affair stuff. When you're going through a relationship and an affair has taken place, like someone has compromised the trust within the relationship, it's not about pointing fingers or saying whose fault it is, but oftentimes it's because a need is not being met. And so we have to be very clear about making sure that we're meeting our mate's need. And it should go both ways. You should be asking him, and he should be asking you. And also, once you cheat, the rules change in the relationship. Like, that's why I say people should get help once you cheat, because you need someone to kind of facilitate what needs to happen next. Once you cheat, and I say the rule changes, then that means that both individuals' schedules are open, conversations begin to change. A real sit-down conversation needs to happen about what is it that you need from me, because sometimes people cheat because they just want to cheat. Sometimes people cheat because they're not getting a need met. And like I explain to wives all the time, when a need is not being met, it creates this. And I don't know if you guys have ever been thirsty, but when you thirst, you almost drink anything. And so you want to make sure that you're not thirsty as a female, and that your husband is not thirsty. So that's my thoughts on can you recover from affair. You absolutely can recover, but it will be a challenge. It would definitely be hard work, and you would definitely have to do the work, like Bree mentioned. And I'm going to open it up right now to some callers, because I do see some people are wanting to kind of chime in. So I want to know if there's any callers out there who have any suggestions or any comments on what we're talking about. If you do, just press 1, and I'll cue you in. And so before I take a caller, I'm going to go to the next question. And the next question is love 50-50? Now, that's a funny question. Is love 50-50? Is love 50-50, ladies? Do you get 50 and you get 50?
Okay, this is Jay-Z. I would have to say love is definitely not 50-50. Marriage is not 50-50. Your partnership is not 50-50. And I would say that because I can't honestly say that I give 50% every day. So I think when you become partners, you complement where the other person is weak. And so some days I have 80 and my husband may have 30 or 20. And then some days I have 20 and he has 80. And so it just depends on where we are in our lives, and our days can, like that, can turn into weeks and months, and just depends on where we are and what we have going on. But I think when you make that commitment, you're committed to the relationship, and as we said in the previous question, doing the work, you do the work all the time. Like, it doesn't just happen. So you have to do the work prior to an affair, in order to not be in the situation where an affair has occurred. So you're doing the work all the time, and so definitely it's not 50-50. And if you have an expectation of 50-50, you're going to be sadly disappointed.
Okay. Well, we have a caller on the line. I'm going to take this caller. And so person with the number ending in 3481, I want you to introduce yourself, tell us where you're calling from, and give us your question and or comment.
Hi, good morning. This is Naomi Gaither, and I was I'm calling from College Park, Georgia, and I'm glad to be a part of the listening to the wisdom and the information. This topic that we're talking about is near and dear to me. I've lived it, I've experienced it, and I've gone through every emotion surrounding it. And when you talk about love in a marriage, that never ends. But when we're talking about the marriage itself, if the cheating occurs and it doesn't stop, then it's up to the individual who is being cheated on. You'll never stop loving them, even though they're cheating on you, even though they have cheated on you. But you have to think about your health, because, you know, he could be bringing AIDS or anything back to you, any kind of disease. You have fatal attractions where the person that he's fooling around with could be compromising your safety of yourself or your children. So it's not about, you know, can it survive? Yes, it can survive. But if the person that is cheating is not really thinking about the marriage, that, you know, is it worth this affair, me losing my family, my marriage? And, you know, they have that sickness where maybe they can't stop. You know, they don't know how to stop entertaining other people. So the bottom line is, would be to that man or that woman, do I want to be married? Because the marriage is just between you and you know, nobody is perfect. Nobody can meet every one of your needs that you have on the list. But you're patient with one another, and where you, okay, the need can't be met, you know, you have to pray about that, you know, and ask God to fill those voids, you know what I mean, and not have those expectations for that human, you know, because we're not perfect and we don't have everything. We can't do everything. Only God can do that.
Absolutely.
So my answer in a nutshell would be, if the person wants to be married, the cheating has to stop, or the marriage will dissolve. But the love never dissolves, especially if you have children, and especially if you ever really love them completely. So thank you for hearing me, and thank you for the information. Thank you, Dr. Lamar.
Good deal. Well, thank you so much for calling, Naomi. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this next caller, and I'm going to ask that you keep it to like 2 or 3 minutes, because we have two really good hot questions that I know a lot of wives want to know, that I received this question about 5 times, the same exact question. And so I'm going to take this caller, and I'm just going to ask that you keep your comment to 2 to 3 minutes. And so I'm going to open up the line for caller. Last number, 8976. Give your name, where you're calling from, and your comment or question.
Can you hear me?
Hi. Can you hear you? Repeat your name again.
LaTanya Fisay-May, and I am calling from the Atlanta, Georgia area. And what I want to address is the cheating. I think it really just depends on what type of cheating we're talking about. A lot of times when people think about cheating, they think about the physical aspect of it. But there's also other types of cheating. For instance, I personally, I know people are not perfect, and I'll be married 18 years this year. And I married my best friend, so we have a great friendship, and that's what's really held our marriage together. But if a person's having an emotional affair, what if they meet somebody and they have to talk to this person every day? You know, they're talking to them, their emotional needs met, because you're not meeting those needs. You may be really busy. You have a lot going on. You maybe think you're doing enough, but they need something more. Physical cheating is totally different. I personally could probably get over something physically happen versus getting over an emotional attachment. Because at that point, if your interest has gone somewhere else emotionally, then it's going to be hard for us to get that back in our marriage because you've already gone somewhere else. I feel as though I've lost you versus you hanging out one night and something happens and you cheat with somebody and it's physical. Because I know your character, I know that that's something you would normally not do, and you're going to protect yourself and protect me. But the emotional cheating would be harder because once you started to treat me different, because you already treat me with respect, you love me, you honor me, when you start having an emotional affair, you're going to tell on yourself because you're going to kind of pull away. You're going to not have as much time for me. You're going to treat me differently. In that case, I probably already lost you anyway.
Mm. Okay. Well, thank you, Tanya. That made a lot of sense. I'm sitting here thinking that you're absolutely right. Oftentimes when we think of cheating, we only think of a physical cheat, but there's so many other cheats. You could cheat financially. You can cheat, like you mentioned, you can have an emotional affair. There can be a physical affair. You can cheat by, and I'm being honest, guys, you can cheat by being on drugs. It's not being honest and keeping things from the other person that can create a cheat. And like I tell a lot of wives, people always talk about physical cheating, and I'm not condoning any of it. I don't want to be cheated on, you know, no kind of way. However, there's so many other cheats that are so worse than a physical cheat. Now, that's just my personal opinion. But, again, I thank you so much, Tanya, for calling in and giving your feedback, or, you know, giving your comments. So I thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're going to go to the next question. And this question, like I mentioned, I received this question, and we've talked about this before. And the question is the way you treat your husband contingent on the way that he treats you? In other words, do you treat him the way that he treats you? So if he's mean, are you mean to him? If he's nice, are you nice to him? And I would like to get some feedback on that because that's a pretty good question. So, ladies, what are your thoughts about the way that you treat your spouse in relation to how he treats you?
Good morning. This is Bree. I think for that question, for me, I treat my spouse, my husband, the way he needs to be treated, what he needs from me to meet his needs. He's a gift from God, so the expectation for me to treat him in that manner, meet his needs, ensure that he has what he needs, and preferably based off that, that is reflected back to me from him.
Well, I would have to say that, and this is hard because, and this is Jay-Z, and I would have to say that I try very hard not to respond in the manner that he responds, but that is human nature. And so if someone's mean to you, then by the nature of the beast, you're like, oh, he going to act stank? I'm going to act stank too. I could show him. But that is not what you should do as a wife. For me, my commitment to my husband is not a commitment to him. I'm committed to him, but I made a covenant with God about who I was going to be to him. And when I'm not doing the things that I should do as a wife, it's not affecting just my husband. It's affecting my relationship with God. And so for me, that's my personal, that's what drives my behavior. And so even if I am upset and I'm disappointed in the actions that my husband may display, that's not going to change my character. That's not going to change whether I cook him breakfast or whether I, you know, give him the loving that he's requesting right now or whatever it is that he needs, because for me, it's bigger, and people who know me know I always say his behavior is between him and his God. What I do is between me and my God, and so I have to answer about my own behavior, and so that's what keeps me in check. Now, I'm not saying it's easy because sometimes the flesh in me will say, I'm going to show him today. But then when I ponder about it and I think about it and I say, that's not the right thing to do. Be who you're supposed to be to him regardless. And ultimately it works because he responds back in kindness, because you can't be mean to somebody who's consistently being nice to you is very hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's really good. What about you, JD? What are your thoughts about treating people the way that they treat you? How do you think you would treat someone, say they came home, your boyfriend came home, he was fussing because he had a hard day at work, being inappropriate, being kind of rude, maybe even doing a little cursing, and then he wanted to get busy. So what are some of your thoughts about the way that you would respond to your mate if they were treating you kind of mean or rude?
That is an excellent question, Dr. Lamar, and I like what was it, Bria, who just spoke? Well, anyway, I would have to take into consideration what's going on with them. But I don't believe in tit for tat. I don't have the mental energy to keep up with it. So I like to address things as it's going on. And I think that the longer that you're with someone, you begin to you begin to learn them, and you can tell when they're stressed, and people respond to stress differently. In my last relationship, sometimes he would just be in a funky mood, and I would go, "Oh, he's not in that place that I want him to be in." But if he's being passive aggressive, because that's two different things, like you're just having a bad day, but if you're being passive aggressive, we need to, for me, I want to get to the root of that, because that's symptomatic of something else that's going on, and let's see if we can work through it. And sometimes, and I've done that, sometimes it will take a couple of conversations, and sometimes it's just nipping it in the bud, but I don't believe in withholding what he needs, because that isn't fair. I wouldn't do it if it was a child. And sometimes, not sometimes, we are really children in adult bodies when it comes to certain things that are going on with us. There are certain parts of us emotionally that we haven't grown up. And so that child in him is coming out, just like that child in me is going to come out. And so,
okay.
So that's what I would do. I wouldn't do the tit for tat. I'm a talker, so let's talk about it. Or the relationship I'm referring to, what shifts his energy, his mood, is going to the art museum. So it's like, let's take a trip. Let's go. I made sure I had my high museum membership. And once we went there, just being around all that creative energy would shift him. And then he would say to me, "You know, I'm glad you did that. I was in a funky mood." So that, okay, to me, is a partnership piece, like making sure that I'm knowing who he is and what will shift him.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And I'm sitting here thinking, because I want to respond to this as well. And I'm just going to keep it real. I'm going to be honest. For people that know me know that I really keep it real. For people that know me as it relates to my marriage, the truth of the matter is, in the past, I have been a tit for tat, but that's just not in my relationship with my spouse. I've been a tit for tat in friendship. You do something to me, I'm going to figure out a way to do it to you, because sometimes I feel like people learn. Sometimes you tell somebody something, they don't get it. You have to show them. Now, this is the thing about that. When you do that, almost like what Jay-Z said, when you do stuff like that, then the emotions are reciprocated. So when you act the fool, then somebody's going to act the fool back to you. When you act kind, typically people will act kind to you. And so I found myself, you know, beating myself up over the head saying, you know, I'm trying to show them, they still not getting it. I'm trying to show them, they still not getting it. So for me, treating my spouse the way that he treats me is definitely out. I treat him with kindness. Now, that doesn't say that sometimes I don't get mad and I don't snap, because I think sometimes we get in this picture-perfect place where we want to be the perfect wife and, oh, no, I don't do that, and, oh, no, I don't do that. And then we're being fake to ourselves, being fake to the world. People scared to get mad because they're like, oh, my God, I never see anybody argue, and then my husband over here arguing all the time, so we not going to make it. I want to be honest. Sometimes couples do argue. Sometimes they do fuss. Most of the time, I try to respond in kindness. sometimes I don't, but I make it my business to apologize, to say, and not that I'm wrong for what I said, but that I'm apologizing for my delivery, because oftentimes what I'm saying is what I mean, but it's how I say it. And so, you know, sometimes I respond in a nice way, or sometimes, you know, my husband can trigger me to snap, and I say snap. Or sometimes he can, you know, do something, and I can automatically respond in kindness and say, you know what, he's frustrated about something. There's no need for me to react to how he feels, because he's pissed off, because next thing you know, I'm going to get pissed off, and next thing you know, we're going to be around here fussing, and next thing you know, it's going to turn into a World War III up in this piece. So, yeah, that's a really good question for the so for the wives that asked that, or for the ladies, whomever, you know, sent that question in. I think it's just contingent upon who you are. But at the end of the day, I think it's important, if you do snap, I think it's important to make sure that you go back and apologize if you are kind of out of line or disrespectful or rude. So good deal, good deal. For any callers, if you have any questions or any comments, press 1 and I'll cue you in. If not, I'm going to go to the next question. And the next question is, when do you stop fighting for your marriage? Like, when is it like, when do you just wave the white flag, like, you know what, buddy, this you won. Somebody come pick me up. I can't do this no more. When do you stop fighting for your marriage? And I'll go first. That's a very, that's a good question. And it's kind of challenging. I think that's an individual. Each individual woman will give a different response. But I think marriage is one of those things where love ebbs and flows. The relationship ebbs and flows. Sex ebbs and flows. Expectation ebbs and flows. And so the first thing that I would say as it relates to when you stop fighting is, don't place so much on the marriage where everything is contingent upon whether it's going to make it or not. Like, you know, if the sex isn't consistent, you know what, this, I'm done with this, I'm out of here. Or if we're not connecting the way that we used to, okay, you know what, I'm done, I'm out of this. Or I don't get those butterflies anymore. I think you have to really be clear about what it is that you need or that you're getting from your marriage and what the end result is. And if you've reached a point where you guys are not in the same court trying to get to that end result, I think that that may be a time to go seek counseling. Because even after that, you guys can still kind of work through some things. It just may be you guys are using two different UPS systems and you guys are going to do two different places. And so I would definitely like to hear from the wives on the phone or from the callers, what are their thoughts on when is it time to just kind of give up?
This is Bree. That's like you said. Just that's such a individual based question that can be answered in so many ways. But just for me, I think when I just don't have any more fight left in me, and okay, what that limit is, I just can't say, because my drive is to continue and to continue. Because going back to those vows that I, you know, took before God and made that commitment before Him. So I it would just be for me, you know, my breaking point may not be as easy broken as, you know, the next person or what they're dealing with. So I just for me, I guess it would be just until I didn't have any more fight, and I think I would still go to God and ask for a little more strength to continue in that.
Okay. Yeah, because it's hard to fight when you don't have no fight in you. Have you ever been in a fight and you just tired? Like, I got to sit down. Jay-Z?
I would have to say, piggyback on what Bree has said and what you have said, that is individual, because what is a breaking point for you may not be a breaking point for me. And what is a breaking point for me? I think JD has said you have deal breakers. And for me, I don't necessarily have I do have parameters, but I don't know if I have deal breakers because I told God for better or for worse, and nobody ever described what worse was. And so worse is worse, and that's it. Worse is bad, and you know. So what is worse? Where are you going with this? You said for better, and you said for worse, but nobody ever described what worse is. And I find myself telling, you know, friends, as I talk to them and they're in situations in their marriages, I tell them, well, you said worse, and nobody put a disclaimer and clarified what worse could be. And so for me, that I think when I go there, that will give me an extra fight. But I have been in a relationship where I've said, I don't know what else he wants from me besides my blood, like I'm going to have to cut my wrist and drain my blood out. And that's funny because that's my husband today. But I've said that, and I meant that. And that meant I had nothing else to give. Like Bree said, I had nothing left to give. And I think if you come to a place where you are at peace with it and you have nothing else to give, then that's a cue. But I think if I come to a place where I have nothing else to give, for me, I'm going to go down on my knees and I'm going to ask God to give me a little more to give because that's the commitment I made.
I feel like we just went to church. Amen. Can I pass around a collection plate? No, I'm just joking. But you know what? JV just said something, and I say this all the time. The vows say for better or for worse, and it's so good to be in there for that better, because that better feel good, stuff going right. But what is worse? Worse is, and I remember talking to one lady, and she told me, oh, worse in my marriage, if my husband loses his job, that's worse. I was like, ooh. Losing job for a black man, that's highly likely. So call me in 2 years and let me know how that go. A worse, like J.D. said, a worse could be a cheat. But like I mentioned earlier, to me, again, I'm not condoning cheating, and I do not want my husband to physically cheat on me. But cheating isn't the worst thing that my husband can do to make me feel like, oh, my God, you really, that's what we doing? And so I think we really have to figure out in our head and be realistic about what is the worst. Is it worse fighting? Is it worse child molestation? Is it worse sleeping with a man? Is it worse losing your job? I had a lady tell me her worst was her husband getting on crack. He had started smoking dope, and she didn't mind weed. She didn't mind cocaine, but then he had started smoking crack, and she said, that's it, because now he's stealing out the house. He's doing stuff, so her worst was crack. And so I'm not, you know, not putting anything in anybody's head, but what I'm saying is we have to go back and think, what is the worst? And JV and Bree has said a lot in this conversation, going to God. When you're at your worst, is going to God still an option? Like, you know what? If you say you can deliver people from everything, can you please help me in my marriage? Is that an option? So even when you get to your worst, because it says for better or worse, it doesn't say for better and worse, like and or, like it's an option. Like, you know what? This is my worst. I'm out. So do you go to God and say, you know what, God, I need some help? Because he done did the worst, and I'm struggling. So that was good, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And I want to jump in on
JB. Yeah, JB.
That's what I meant to say. Sorry. It's so many JDs and JZs, I done got confused.
Yes, JB.
I want to jump in on this because what you said is very awesome. And I read this book, Lies at the Altar. It's a really fantastic book for our callers. And one of the things that she does talk about is that we never say what the worst is. Because, as you know, statistically, it is women who file for divorce. So that for better or worse, yeah, there are some things that you will say, I can't do this. And I think that we need to start thinking about that so that you see it, hear, know what it is. So it's physical abuse. Like, that's a deal breaker. Like, you're going upside my head. I'm not willing to go to counseling for that. You need to go and handle that. Or you are now sleeping with little children. Deal breaker. I'm not interested in working with that. Like, now, of course, as I said, I haven't been married, so marriage changes a perspective. But from this, like, for me talking to someone, like, these are the things that I'm not willing to work with, deal with. like your client, like the lady that you were saying where her husband started using crack. It's like, yeah. But there are women who stay with people who go through addiction.
Yeah.
I'm just not interested in it. So I think that we need to state what our deal breakers are. And even if you're married, I think that there's some times that you should sit down with your spouse and ask him. It's not just on us, even though we're filing most of the divorces. Like, ask him, like, what are your deal breakers? Like, what is, like, I'm out of here. So, and then tell him, these are my things. And it doesn't mean that they're going to happen. We just assume that people know what they are. Let me stop talking. That's all I have
to good. Thank you.
Interject.
Well, I have to say this, JD. You got a lot of deal breakers.
Yeah. And I'm a therapist, but I'm not willing to.
So you done. You one and done. You cheat? Oh, bye. You go upside my head? Oh, bye. You sleep with little children? Oh, bye. And nothing is wrong with that. It's totally up to
and don't
you.
Forget and, the crack. And, you start using drugs? I'm bye.
What if it's, yeah, okay. What if it's alcohol? Is that okay? Like you're an alcoholic and you're just getting drunk and stuff and falling out in
now,
the street.
Now, did
and
I
stuff?
Not know that you were alcoholic? Because how did he become an alcoholic? Was he an alcoholic? Because I'm thinking marriage now. I done dated someone who had a drinking problem. I done dated someone who had a drug problem. And I think that's where this is coming from. Like, there are just some things I'm unwilling to work with. Unless they're working on it, like, but if they're not doing anything, if they're not in some type of 12-step program or something that's making sure that they're dealing with that issue, because there's an issue that causes addiction, either it's already within their system, or
genetics.
Thank you. Or there's an emotional issue, and they're using the drugs to sedate themselves so that they don't have to feel, because I'm too much about let's work on this, and I'm not interested in dragging anyone. We working on this together. Like, you come to me and say let's do this together, but I can't save you. And you talk about that a lot, Dr. Lamar, that when you get married, it's gonna take everything you have, and that you got to be willing. Is this person worth the fight? Is this person worth your life? Because at some point it's going to feel like, and I like what Jay-Z said, like I felt like I had to give him blood because that's all I had left. Like she was saying, I'm giving him my life. I'm giving him everything. Like, I don't know what else to do. But
if
was
she
he worth it? And she said,
blood.
Now he's my, I think she did because she said, that's her husband there.
Good point.
Anyway. Yeah,
but I had a joke to crack. You were saying what would drive him to that alcohol, what would drive him to drugs, what would drive him to, and I was gonna crack a joke and say it's probably all them deal breakers you got. Drive, he's gonna go crazy.
He don't need to be with me. I'm high maintenance. Yeah.
But yeah, and so that's some good stuff. I want to ask this question, and this is gonna kind of be a hot one, and I think this is probably gonna take us out. I got a lot of comments on this, and this even came from a male. So I definitely want to hear from our callers. I want to hear from you all. The question was, what happens when sex begin to decrease? Like, what happens? Like, one of the messages was, does it mean that my husband is cheating on me if he's not initiating sex anymore and he used to be the initiator? And the other question was, what happened? We're not having sex as much as we used to, and sometimes it makes me feel like we're not connected. What does that mean? Does that mean he's not invested in the relationship? And the guy question was, why aren't we having sex the way that we used to when we first got together? So that's a kind of a heavy loaded question, but the bottom line is, what happens when sex begins to subside within your relationship, within your marriage? So I'm going to open that floor up for anybody that would like to, chime in, or for the callers that would like to say something, but I'm interested to hear what you all have to say, because y'all know I have a mouthful about that sex stuff.
Well, I'll start off, and I believe that sex was created to feel and have a high level of intimacy between two people, And if it's not there, and oftentimes I've read a book, and I think it's What Women Need to Know or something like that, and women often believe that men don't need sex emotionally, that it does not impact them emotionally, but it does. Our husbands want to know that their wives desire them. And when we say, my head hurt, that's rejection. And it is not just for them, I don't want to do it right now. It is, she don't think I'm attractive. She don't want to have sex with me anymore because she's not driven to have sex with me. And so it impacts them emotionally, which causes them to do what we hate for them to do, is to shut down. And as you get stuck in a cycle, and now he's not communicating the way you need him to communicate, and you're not having sex because he's not communicating, but he's not communicating because you're not having sex. And you're in a vicious cycle, and the next thing you know, you have a huge wall between the two of you. So sex is very, very important to the relationship. I don't think we think in the forefront of our minds that physically it's not as important to a lot of women, but emotionally it is, and physically and emotionally it is for me.
Okay. Well, you know, you just said a mouthful, and I think one of those things that we don't talk about a lot, because it's like, who you really going to talk about your sexual experiences, especially if they're not where they need to be, or we've been so conditioned to, you got to have sex every day, girl, you got to give it to him, you give it to him, here. And I'm not saying that, you know, he won't, but what I'm saying is, we are so conditioned that you have to be perfect sexually. You have to make sure that you're laying it down. You have to make sure. We create all these things, and these come from our peers. It's a societal thing that we have to be perfect. But what people are not talking about, and I say this all the time, the older you get, sometimes it does shift. And sometimes men's sex drive, it slows down, and the woman, her sex drive will pick up. Another big thing that people don't talk about is, and I say this all the time, is, people don't realize that sometimes sex is a wonderful thing. Don't get it twisted. Sex is a wonderful thing, and you need it. It creates connection. It makes your spouse feel like you guys are connected, or makes the man feel like there's a connection. It makes them feel loved. But at the same time, sometimes women don't admit this, but there's only 30%. Well, there's 3 out of 10 women that have orgasms. So sometimes sex can be a daunting task, because we've been conditioned to think every time you have sex, you need to have an orgasm. Now, that is good to be able to have an orgasm every time you have sex. But the reality of it is, there's a lot of ladies that are having sex and they're not having orgasms, and they're not talking to anybody about having orgasms. So the sexual experiences are not as pleasurable for them. And so it seems like a task. It seems like a job. It's like, should I go to hell sick? And I know I'm not going to have an orgasm. And so I think we need to begin to have those conversations about what is it that I can do. And it's not about the man. Oftentimes it's the woman, because she has her clitoris isn't exposed, or, you know, she's not, you know, there's certain things that's going on with her body. So I think those are conversations that we need to have, and not be ashamed, and or tell your mate, this is how I have an orgasm. And it may not even have anything to do with penetration, and that's penis in the vagina. Have a conversation. You need to rub this, you need to touch this, you need to tickle this. This is how I can have an orgasm and not feel ashamed about it, thereby making the sexual experience better, thereby hopefully you will be more engaged to want to have sex more often. So that's just my 2 cents. We have a caller, or I don't know if you want to say anything, Bree, but I'm going to take a comment, and then we're going to close this out.
And let the caller know that they only have 1 minute, because we're getting close to the end of our time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So do you have anything to say about that, Bree, or are you just going to kind of let it?
Well, I will say something quick. I think when you do discover the decrease in the sex, and just to make it a whole spin, I think a conversation could be had, because as a woman, for me, I can do my thing and he doesn't respond to it. So now I can go off into this tangent of, oh, he's doing this. But you have to remember, life happens, work, the kids. He can be thinking about a problem or, you know, just something that he hasn't at that point begun to communicate to you. So that has, at that point, taken over a lot of his thought process and his feelings at that point in time. So instead of me going off and saying, okay, now we're into another problem and, you know, what am I doing wrong? It's just a matter of going into that nurturing side of myself and picking up those clues and those areas of saying, okay, you know, ooh, baby, what's going on? What's on your mind? So just basically having that conversation, because as you get older, your body changes, your drive increases, it decreases, and you just have to find those ways to be more interactive, be more innovative in regards to meeting those needs.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to thank you guys for calling and chiming in. Thank all the listeners that called in. We have a full house tonight. I'm so excited. I love to see these lights light up. That means that people are listening and you all stayed. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the mic over to Jay Deer, and she's going to tell you all about some good stuff that we have going on coming up.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I just, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. And I just want to throw my last 2 cents in, that I think that safety is another reason why a woman might not be having sex, that she doesn't feel safe in the relationship anymore. So I thank all the ladies for being on the show. This was an awesome show. So we have a couple of workshops coming up. We have a free workshop coming up on August 27th, which is The Beauty and the Beast, The Relationships. And you can go to our website to get more information about that. But it's Thursday from 7 to 9. And we also have a paid workshop that will be on November 21st. And that's a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And this workshop is for couples, singles, and that is also for men and women. And the title for that workshop is The Secret to Lasting Love, How to Create and Maintain Healthy Relationships. And in this workshop, you will learn how to avoid the common mistakes husbands and wives make with each other, develop the skills to create a loving relationship, dismantle unrealistic expectations that hinder your power, and educated as a woman on how to be a good thing. Discover how to be her hero. So check us out. I want you to know that we have enjoyed you for this hour. And if you want more information about us, visit our website, youareworthy.org. And thewiveinc.com. Or follow us on Twitter at Jaidea Jackson. That's Jaidea Jackson. And at thewiveinc. And like us on Facebook at You Are Worthy and thewiveinc. Thank you for listening to the show. This show is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. It is not therapy, and thereby should not be considered a substitute counseling. If you are having difficulties in your life and need to speak with someone, please contact the Behavior Health Line at 800-715-4225. Once again, that's 800-715-4225. Dr. Lamar, do you have any last comments before we hit our music?
Absolutely. I just want to say thank everybody for coming to the show and listening. And I'm encouraging you guys, stay on the line and listen to our closing song. I really like this. And I know people say that needs to just make you turn up. So stay on the line and listen. And thank you so much for tuning in.
We want to welcome y'all to Two Wise Women Show.
That's right.
J.D.